Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
What up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by Hy-Vee, Toys, and Ford. Shout out to Resonance Branding Company, the official swag provider for the Man Cave Podcast. Get that link to the Swag Cave by checking out the podcast description, and the link is at the bottom there. We're going to talk some Brewers at the second half of this this podcast. Brandon Berg going to be joining me to talk some Brewers and Bucks, and that's where we're going to lead off with this podcast. Bucks with their season now officially in the books. You know, we heard from Dame last night. We heard from Doc. Big offseason, right? I mean, I don't want to try to over-dramatize it by any means, but I think we all know it's an important offseason. If there's three certainties, I did see this on social media where, you know, if Darvin Ham gets fired, he's the leading odds on to be the next Bucks coach. I'm like, Doc isn't going anywhere for this year. Whether you like it or not, I don't want to say anything's 100% certain, but I'm fairly close to that certain. Giannis is back and Dame's back. Those are probably the only three things that I would say that I'm certain about for this Bucks team for next year. It was a weird season, though, wasn't it? I mean, you got the Dame trade right before the season. Then Terry Stotts quits, like, what, a day, a couple days, a week before the season began. Adrian Griffin's a first-time head coach. He gets fired. You bring in Doc. Injuries. This stat to me was mind-boggling. Middleton, Dame, and Giannis played only six games together under Doc Rivers this year.
Yeah, I think eight total.
Yeah. It was like, beg pardon?
You know, right.
That to me was like, holy, okay. So
yeah, this season it just felt like once it got going, it never clicked.
Yeah.
Like, for everybody. Like, it just, you never kind of got that feeling of, oh, okay, I can, you know, you can kind of see it coming together. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But, I mean, you just look at now that, you know, obviously we can kind of, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, look back a little bit. Like, this team just didn't kind of have that chemistry, that connection. You mentioned the, you know, the trade being late, like the coaching change midseason, all the injuries, it just never clicked, I think, the way a lot of people assumed it would. Like, they figured, you know, once you bring in Dame Lillard, that's kind of the move to get you back over the top. But there's a lot more to it than just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he talked a little bit about, and off the court stuff too. He apparently was going through, I think it was like a divorce and some family stuff, and you know, and he had mentioned, you know, he didn't really work out a whole. I mean, he worked out, but didn't do a whole lot because he didn't want to get hurt because he was going to get traded. He knew he was going to get traded. I'm sure that was playing his mind. Like, we all assumed it was going to be Miami at some point, and then all of a sudden, holy moly, the Bucks, you know, swoop in and get him, which I think surprised probably him at that point in time too, and you know. Not to make excuses, because I think anytime you make moves like that, it's championship or bust, right? You do that. But I think we could point to maybe some different, like, oh, yeah, that was probably a big reason why they didn't win. That was a reason. And you're right. Like, it just never felt like everything was gelling.
Right. It just always kind of felt like this, you know, this team is always trying to move in two different directions.
Yeah.
Like, even, you know, in the playoffs. Like, I've... From the moment he was hired, I'm not a Doc Rivers guy, but I can't really put anything on what happened in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, to me, you mentioned kind of stats that blew your mind. The thing that blew my mind was the fact that Tuesday when the Bucks won, they were the first team in NBA history to win a game when the team's top two players were out.
Yeah.
Like,
I saw that too, and I'm like, you're telling me that's the first time ever?
Like, that kind of tells you what they were up against. And
yeah.
I think a lot of us, myself included, going back a few weeks when we were making our picks, I figured Giannis would be back at some point. And obviously that injury is more severe than we thought.
Yep.
And then you factor in that you didn't have Lillard for a couple of those games. I mean, to me, the one that's really going to kind of maybe linger is game three.
Yeah.
You know, that game
that
where
overtime one.
You know, Chris Middleton hits the big three to go into overtime. You feel like if you could steal that, you know, they could have found a way to get to Sunday or the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Giannis plays. But, I mean, either way, like, the bottom line is, you watch these two teams play, and it was obvious which team was the most more cohesive unit, and that was Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their bench just took it to the Bucks bench. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Like, they were trying to, you know, warm up the leftovers of Gallinari, and that just wasn't working. Like,
right. Well, I tell you something. When Jay Crowder last two games plays
great
0 minutes,
right? And as we go into the offseason, you mentioned you kind of, you know, the three, you know, the certainties. I'm just like, this is. to me, last night just felt like it was the end of an era. Mm-hmm. Kind of for this Bucks group, for the Giannis, Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis group, Pat Connaughton group, those guys that have all been there since the championship year. Like, you can't run it back as is when you're already one of the, if not the oldest team in the league, and hope it's going to be better.
Is a good example of that maybe the Warriors?
Yeah. I mean, I can understand when you've been successful with it before, trying to do it again, but at some point you reach that point where you say, okay, we just can't do this again. Like, I think this year you've really seen kind of a bit of the changing of the guard. When you look at the teams that are out already.
They're older teams, right?
They are. The Lakers, the Warriors, the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, these are all
Clippers, it may be.
Yeah, Clippers may be. Like, and who are the teams that are still around? The Pacers, the T-Wolves. Like, these are younger, explosive teams. And I think
Sixers knocking out
the Sixers are out, the Heat are out. I mean, granted, that was, Jimmy Butler. That makes a big difference. But still, I mean, that's still a team with plenty of potent players. But I just think that's going to be a big part of this offseason is you have to get younger. You have to get more explosive.
Yeah.
Like, Giannis and Dame can certainly play within that structure.
Right.
But you can't come back with,
it's like the Brook one is the example when you keep saying, younger and that. Like,
right.
Like, Brook is still, he can shoot a couple threes.
He can be physical around the basket and stuff, but.
Shot blocker, but just, defending on the perimeter.
I think it's tough when you have both him and Giannis.
Yeah.
Where I think at this point, ideally, you're playing Giannis at the five.
That's what I was going to ask you.
And because he can do it. He's strong enough. He's physical enough. Mm-hmm. But yet, you can still get out and run, where if he's the biggest guy you have on the court, but he's still, the Greek freak, like, that may be the way you have to take this.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, is there a scenario now where you look at this where Giannis is at that five, but, and before anybody says, well, he's not a star, I feel like the NBA is kind of positionless now.
Positionless.
You know, I look at Jokic and I'm like, that's not the center I grew up.
Yeah, this isn't Patrick Ewing anchoring down, getting the ball on the block and going up for a shot.
Right.
Like, that's just, and Giannis can't do that, obviously. So, but it's just different. And that's not to say you bring in a veteran guy off the bench that can't be a little bit of that you use as like a changeup.
Right.
But it's just so tough when you're trying to do that when Giannis by himself is more than capable of being a really strong rim protector. But rim protection isn't as valuable as it used to be. Like, you can have it, but you don't necessarily, you're not fortifying yourself. Obviously, you see somebody like Rudy Gobert, the importance of that still.
Right.
But, the T-Wolves still have other guys that are, obviously super athletic and play away. You can kind of have one guy, maybe that's that way.
Yep.
But with two, that's just a tougher proposition.
Right. It just felt like a bad match. I think everybody agreed heading into the series, it felt like a bad matchup for the Bucks in a lot of ways.
You almost, like, obviously hindsight is 20/20, but, like, it almost felt like maybe the Bucks, you wish the Bucks would have fell to four.
Yeah.
But even still, I think regardless of who they played in that first round without Giannis, if it works out the same way where you miss a few games of Dame, like, this was something, like, in a way, this was kind of like last year. The only difference is last year when, Giannis was out, you didn't have Dame to win a game like he did in game one.
Right.
Dame did more offensively in that game one than, Drew Holiday ever did. Mm-hmm. And obviously Drew came defensively. That was was his impact. And then he had some offensive games. But I just this year, last year, I feel like the result would be kind of the same given how things worked out in this series.
Is Middleton back next year, do you think?
I think so. To me, like, because you're still making moves, not only to try to be the best you can, but also to make Giannis happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's one where I feel like that's kind of the one to me where it's like, man, if you're making that move, you better have something really, really good, because obviously him, Giannis and Middleton are close.
Yep.
Like, and you saw in the series, like, Middleton still got it. It's just that you kind of need to limit it more. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be a guy that plays 82 games.
Right.
But, of all the things that went wrong in the series and all the things you can be disappointed with, I'm not sure you can really be that disappointed with how Chris Middleton played.
Mm-hmm.
Because the effort was darn sure there. And he had his big moments.
Yep.
Just not enough people did along with him.
Right. I mean, that 42 in that game 3, was...
That was kind of a Chris Middleton moment to remind people, hey, oh yeah, I can still play.
Yeah. Like, is Lopez back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think the two guys that you kind of have to move on from as much as hurt, because again, big parts of how successful this team has been is Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis.
Ooh, you're gonna throw Bobby in there too?
Yes. To me, he's just been so hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some really good games there, in the postseason. Obviously, Game 5, big reason they stuck around. But you have to make moves that you have to do something. And there's only certain things you can't do. So then that kind of puts everyone else in that spot.
Right.
It's unfortunate because obviously he has embraced Milwaukee. Milwaukee's embraced
You hate to see the fan favorites go
but there's just certain things you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Pat?
Probably, that's, again, he's in the middle of this too,
mm-hmm.
but, you have to do something. Like, you can't just, you can't run it back and say, well, it'll be fine next year. People will be healthy.
Could you see a scenario where, it's a complete overhaul with this? I mean,
in some ways, yes.
I think one thing they got to just completely get better at is the depth on the bench. Doc's got to – maybe that's why Doc didn't use a bench a whole lot. But, I mean, started to use Andre Jackson a little bit more. Is he part of that equation? I don't know.
AJ Green, whatever. You've got they've got a – as of right now, they've got a first-round draft pick they can use.
Holy moly. it's not a lot of draft capital.
It's not a lot, but you're right. You mentioned it earlier with Jay Crowder. It feels like that was kind of the search since the title of trying to find that next PJ Tucker.
Maybe makes Mike Budenholzer's decisions more, last year Jay Crowder didn't play in the postseason. Not playing him.
Right. If it happens with a couple different coaches, and then suddenly it's less of, what's wrong with the coaches? And why isn't this working with the player? And we've seen that with some veterans where they've come in, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say was he cooked or whatever? I don't know.
Right.
And you never know. But it's just, for whatever reason, that combination just hasn't worked as much as a lot of people, including myself, thought it would. I mean, that was kind of their white whale was trying to find that veteran, tough, three that could be a good defender, but still hit some threes. That was what they got at PJ Tucker and with the title team, and it was let's try to find it with somebody else, and they just haven't been able to find it with somebody else.
Right. Yeah, I kind of dabbled and looked at free agents, but then you got the bird rights. I mean, the NBA is confusing when it comes to contracts and all that stuff too.
I think it's going to have to come in trades.
Yeah, because you got to shell off some of that money. I mean, you can't just straight up release a lot of these guys.
No.
But that's where you kind of look at, okay, if you're going to trade a Brook Lopez and such, you got to look at that, a team that's maybe not, would you say win now mode, or maybe it's one of those teams that's trying to build and you can get those younger assets off them. We've seen that before. Then they'll release Brook Lopez and all that sort of stuff. But I can't come up with that target. Target.
It's too soon. I mean, that's what's mm-hmm. going to the next few months are going to be for, which, I mean, the thing is, though, we're like
two draft months. Is next month, isn't it?
Yeah, draft is next month. Free agency is right after that. So it's not that far away. And I'm sure they're already thinking about it.
This is big for John Horst, I think, because this is his team that he built.
Right.
This is the offseason, and this is the coach now that he's brought in and, fired. To me, this is a huge offseason for John Horst.
Right.
To figure this out.
Right. And I mean, in hindsight, you're kind of thankful that Giannis, extended at the start of last year, because where would they be if he didn't this year?
Well, and that's the thing, though, too, is I would hope he realizes, hey, I wasn't out there, so that's
right.
a big loss.
I can't necessarily pin that. And I feel like he would have that approach just from what we know about him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's massive. I mean, there's a few teams that are kind of in – massive offseason mode. Philly's the same way. I mean, I think Joel Embiid's the only guy that they have that's really under contract next year. Mm-hmm. So there's gonna be a lot of moving and shaking there. I know I had seen some people, connecting some big names to Philly just because they have the money and obviously they have the opportunity.
Yeah. Again, hindsight's 2020. Dante DiVincenzo would still look pretty good in a Bucks uniform.
He would, but he also got paid.
Yeah,
he did. Are you comfortable paying him what New York was able to pay him?
No, it's just so.
And that's a part of the equation.
It is. Yep. I mean, let's face it. I mean, NBA contracts too are like dudes get paid.
Yeah.
PAID paid.
You know, you in a ways it's a bit like baseball where it's kind of like you almost have a window a certain about some of these guys until like okay they're look now they're going to get paid what they're worth.
Yep.
And if you're kind of leading at the top with, you know, a couple big-time contracts, they can only fit so much. And, you know, I've seen some people kind of bring up the idea of, like, is the big three era dead?
I was wondering about
that. When you think, you know, because there was that period, I mean, that was with the Bucks. I mean, it was Giannis, Middleton, Holiday.
Yep.
You know, that was kind of their quote-unquote big three. And every team was looking for that quote-unquote big three. But now you look at the teams that are successful, you know, throw the Nuggets, like obviously they have Jokic, but it's not they don't necessarily have like three big names. They have like Jokic and some other really good players that fit in well.
Right. You know, Porter had a really good series against the Lakers. Murray had those couple big, you know, big time shots.
Would you put them in that, you know,
no.
They're very good players, but you wouldn't put them in like that
superstar Hall of Fame.
Yeah, when you're thinking look at the
Thunder is another example.
Right.
You got Alexander and a bunch of young talent over there.
But then you look at the ones that have failed. You look at the Clippers.
Yeah.
They kind of went there. The Suns.
Yep.
You know, the Suns are, I mean, they're kind of the big example of that, you know, burning out with what they've done.
Look at the Knicks right now, Jalen Brunson, and then.
Nets tried it.
Yep.
Philly tried it. Like, there's so many teams that.
It's actually getting back to team basketball?
It is.
Think about that.
It is.
That's where I like. Honestly, I like that. It sucks because my team, the Bucks, aren't kind of like built like that right now. But I was actually kind of wondering that the other day. Like, you look at the Nuggets, yes, you still need a superstar.
Yeah, you still have to have that top tier like MVP caliber guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have two or three of them.
Right. Bucks will have two next year. Damon Giannis.
Right.
But. You know, I mean,
Middleton was at that spot at one point, but now, you know, with injury and stuff, you know, he can still be very good, obviously, but, you know, maybe not quite at the level.
Right.
It's all, you know.
Team basketball's back?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think, yeah. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about that. I'm looking at these teams. I'm like, then I didn't know if, like, oh, no, you know, Murray's a superstar.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'd say Jamal Murray's a superstar.
Right. That's who's surviving? Look at the Knicks.
So, like, the Celtics, yes, Jason Tatum. And yes, but I don't know if Brown's an all-star, but is he and he got paid. You know, Drew Holiday's there. Porzingis isn't Porzingis. He's really good within that role, but he wasn't.
But the thing that makes the Celtics so good is their depth.
Yeah.
They go deep, and they are really good at it. They have assembled a team.
Yeah. Like, if they don't win it this year, it's almost like the Dodgers in a sense
to me. It's like, well, if you didn't win it.
Mm-hmm. And I know Porzingis is hurt now, too, which could affect it, but. No, and I mean, even heck, look at Orlando, too. I mean, finally it's clicking. A lot of young talent. Banchero's over there, too, you know, but they've got a collection of young
talent.
And
you look at, like, the Timberwolves, obviously Anthony Edwards, superstar. Like,
But Karl-Anthony Towns isn't.
He's a very good player, but I wouldn't put him in that.
Superstar.
Yeah, and Gobert, Gobert is very good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's obviously an awesome defender. You know, he can score, but it's not like he's a 30-point guy.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you just, you know, you kind of have to be ahead of the curve with that now. And
I agree. I agree. I mean, Lakers, yeah. To me, it's like you look at those veteran teams with those big names on there, and you just scratch your head like, wow, how did they know? Maybe it's because of team basketball. Depth is back. Bench players are back. Sixth man of the year awards matter again.
Yeah.
So.
Good on you, Nasreed.
Yeah. I'd be all for that. I'm all for that. That was one reason why NBA kind of fell for me is because it's like you had these superstar teams, and then, you know, I have it in my mind the Heat teams when they had LeBron and Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and then it's like, okay, veterans minimum for Jason Williams, veterans minimum for these guys, Miller, and, you know, heck, even my Magic did this when I was a kid when they brought in T-Mac and Grant Hill. What did they do? Veterans minimum for Patrick Ewing and Sean Kemp and all that stuff.
We remember like Gary Payton and Karl Malone going to the Lakers at the end of their career trying to, you know, get a ring. Like,
yep.
That was.
And what team beat them?
Pistons.
A team.
Right.
Right. So I think that'll be good for basketball.
I think so.
Bucks have a little bit to work.
They got a lot of work to do.
You know, to get to that level.
Right. They got a lot of work to do. He said this is a massive offseason.
It is. Very big. So, quick break, and we're going to talk some Brewers after these quick words. We're getting set for another busy travel season, vacations, taking our kids to all their games and activities, and you need a proper vehicle to get you to where you're going, and safely. That's where Toyson Ford can help you. Toyson Ford will go the extra mile to provide you with compelling options for new and used car shopping. They will gladly work with you on financing, no matter what your budget may be. They're committed to giving drivers across the Chippewa Valley the best in customer service. Check them out for yourself. Visit Toyson Ford in Chippewa Falls today and check out their website, toysonford.net. Perks. I love perks. You love perks. We all love perks. And one of the best perks you could find in the Chippewa Valley is Hy-Vee Perks. Hy-Vee Perks is a free and easy program for Hy-Vee shoppers. Access exclusive perks prices, earn discounts on gas when you purchase designated products at Hy-Vee, and save more with exclusive deals, offers, and rewards. The best part? It's free to join. Not a part of Hy-Vee Perks yet? No worries. Just stop by Hy-Vee in Eau Claire to sign up. Start taking advantage of the best shopping deals in the Chippewa Valley right now with Hy-Vee and Hy-Vee Perks. Brewers Cubs, three straight day games down in Chicago here. First game will be without Pat Murphy as manager. Let's rewind it here a little bit. How ridiculous was that umpiring crew? They've already made my Festivus list, Brandon. I mean, for
that's actually
out,
a really good point. Yeah, I mean,
okay, Pat Murphy won. I'm sure he probably said some things.
Based on the John Boy video, there was some inflammatory verbiage, but I think it went both ways.
Yeah, exactly. The one that I'm just like, how the five games, okay, Freddie Peralta, it's the thing, well, he'll probably miss a start there. To me, the reason why he got suspended to begin with, to me, is just mind-boggling.
Right.
With the whole, first of all, he shouldn't have even gotten thrown out, in my opinion.
Yes, that surprised me, because he hits a batter.
Mm-hmm. Siri.
Without any sort of warning,
mm-hmm.
in a game that they're up 6-1, in a game that he's not trying to throw at somebody because they're up 6-1, and he's trying to pitch deep into a game because the bullpen's taxed.
I think he was at 66 pitches at that point,
right,
or something.
In the sixth inning. I mean, yeah. He was set to go at least seven innings, and what was very much needed for that bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a time you do it. And let's put it this way. If it comes out well after the fact that they were throwing at him, then it was dumb on their part, but I don't think that's the case.
Right. Yeah. It was just,
and they didn't.
It's mind-boggling.
Not, and he didn't
to
even
me.
Throw him out right away.
Right.
They had to get. They got together.
He had to
they
go
talked.
Talk to the crew.
So it's like you threw him out, and you yourself at home plate didn't even think of it right away.
Right. Yeah. I could not believe that.
And I think that escalated what happened a few innings later.
Mm-hmm. With the Uribe
and look. Uribe should be spent. Like, that was dumb. You don't come out throwing hands like that. You know, you're not talking in that spot. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, as we've seen quickly with Abner Uribe, you know, his motor runs hot.
Yep.
Like, but you, and he's a young guy, but you can't do that. Like, that's, yep. you know, he deserves, you know, he deserves the punishment he got.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe part of that situation that later developed was because of what happened earlier in the game with the officiating.
I would agree. So, I don't know. I know Freddie's appealing, and because they're hoping that he can start on Sunday. And there, I just, if that gets upheld, and again, I know it's the five games, but he shouldn't even be suspended for one for crying out loud.
I was a little taken back that the player in this that got the fewest games was Jose Siri.
Yeah, and then it got lowered. He appealed it already, and he got lowered down to two.
You know, because he's the common denominator in all this.
Exactly.
Who, you know, and again, I don't, if someone pimps a home run, I don't care. Like, that, whatever. I mean, we've seen people, you know, people on your favorite team, including the Brewers, have done it before, and they'll do it again. Like, that doesn't bother me. My feeling has always been, if you don't want someone to do it, don't give it up.
Exactly. Yep.
But that was kind of the common thread with all of it. And I get that it's a little different when you're trying to weigh a position player's suspension versus a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned the Freddie Peralta one, like, What they're going to move his start back a day. Like, that's what this is going to mean for him being suspended for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you appeal it, even if it doesn't, you know, nothing changes, and if he's still able to start Sunday, you know, it's a very good chance that with, you know, two straight weeks of games on deck now, that they'd go with the 6-man rotation anyway, and that would have happened anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe nothing ultimately changes for Freddie Peralta.
Right.
But it shouldn't be in that spot.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. The only thing is, don't pip it if you're up like 15-1.
Right. In his case, they were down.
Right. But you're right. Yeah, that doesn't bother me unless I was, you know, Giancarlo Stanton and I hit a home run off of a position player.
Funny story, being at that game, because the pitch before he swung and missed, and just talking, you know, talking with, you know, friend of the show, Richie, and others, I just started laughing. I go, well, that's not going to happen again. Sure enough, next pitch, bang. It's like, well.
Yeah. So Pat Murphy won't be managing this game. For game one against former friend Ricky Weeks, but Ricky Weeks going up against his former double play partner.
Yeah, that's a former 6-4 combo right there.
Yep. So top two teams in the division right now, Brewers, Cubs, Brewers holding on to a one game lead. I feel like this isn't getting a ton of attention. I feel like that's going to come at the end of the month when Council returns
right, that,
to Milwaukee.
That first game in Milwaukee, I think, is getting more hype. But still, I mean, remember, there's not as many of these now with the balanced scheduling. And these are two really good teams.
Yeah.
Like, it's important.
I wanted to bring up a couple players here. But Colin Ray, just because the other day, you know, last year we didn't know who he was. He comes in, you know, injuries. We see his season kind of, you know, I mean, he was part of, you know, started a lot of games, also came out of the bullpen. This year, still kind of an unknown what to expect. 3-0. They're 5-1 in the six games he has started. Surpassing your expectations in the early goings for Colin Ray right now?
Yeah. I mean, he's eating innings. Mm-hmm. He's eating innings and providing, you know, more often than not quality innings when he does. And that's all you can hope for. You know, him being able to go six innings on Wednesday was huge.
Yeah.
Leading into that off day where you're able to, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, get your bullpen in a better spot. Like, that was absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went out and he did it. Like, that's on a team where the rotation is just looking for all the things they can find.
Yeah.
You know, him being able to do that is huge.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously Willy Adames having those two home runs in that game too was huge. But, you know, when you look at his team, I know, you know, there's the articles out, the 200 Club with Pat Murphy, the average Joes, you know, surrounding with Pat Murphy and such. I mean, obviously, you know, David Stearns and Craig Counsell leaving, they were holding the Brewers back for crying out loud, apparently, right now. So, tongue-in-cheek people, chill out. But, you know, again, we've said this how many times. You see the fieriness of this team. Is this a direct relation? They're just playing off the personality of their manager.
Right. I think you're right. And I think that, you know, for longtime Brewers fans, it's a bit Phil Garner-esque.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah.
Old scrap iron. Like, he was, you know, and Ned, you know, Ned Yost would also, you know, he'd get after a little bit. But, yeah, I think you're just seeing these players, you know, kind of take after their manager. And then also just, you know, obviously just having some situations where they're reacting. You know, that's part of it, too. So, but, yeah, within this first month, I mean, you like to see that. I mean, you know, I don't know if people necessarily knew kind of how just opposing demeanors, you know, Counsell and Murphy were, just mostly because I think people knew who Pat Murphy was, but you didn't necessarily know him, just, you know, because he was the bench coach. And that's kind of more in line even, too, with, like, Ricky Weeks. I mean, people remember, I mean, Ricky Weeks was, you know, a very intense player when he played as well. So that's just, you know, it's just different, you know. It's not better, it's not worse, it's just different. And when you're not used to seeing different, you know, different can really catch your eye.
Right. Pat Murphy, though, does look like a guy I don't want to get into an argument with.
Right. He strikes me as someone with some serious old man strength.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just that natural gaze upon him. It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to get into a discussion with him.
Right.
Over there, too. So, but no, I can't complain. I mean, there's not a whole lot. I mean, we can, you know, pinpoint different things, but given the injuries that this team has gone through with pitchers and even throwing Yelich and the young makeup of this team, I mean, does that give you more credit for Pat Murphy, the job he's done, more credit for Matt Arnold for the job? I mean, that William Contreras trade just looks even more amazing at
right,
this point.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you factor all that in, how much more impressive is it what the Brewers are doing when you factor in all that stuff?
Yeah, it's got to be even more so. I mean, you're without Christian Yelich. You never had a shot so far this year with Garrett Mitchell.
Yeah.
You know, no, obviously, Wade Miley outside of a little bit. No Devin Williams.
Yeah.
And here they are, you know, starting today at the top of the division.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with, you know, after a really good first month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you not be pleased?
Hudson and Wilson, those pitchers, too. I mean, again, probably casual fans, besides you, didn't know too much about them, probably didn't know about them. And
Bryce Wilson is another one. I mean, yeah. He's not very old,
mm-hmm.
but you know, he made some big starts as a youngster when he was with the Braves and with the Pirates, and it just didn't work out. He goes to Milwaukee, kind of works on the pitch mix a little bit, and mm-hmm. you know, he had a really good under the radar year last year. Now he's kind of a starter just out of need,
right?
And he made one mistake against the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
and the you know again in his most recent start, he was really good.
Yep. All right, that is going to do it for us on this episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by Hy-Vee and Toys and Ford. And again, big shout out to Resonance Branding Company, the official swag provider for the Man Cave Podcast. If you got a few seconds, if you haven't done so already, if you could, just give us a 5-star rating and a positive review like on Apple and Spotify. That way others can find the podcast. And don't forget to follow and subscribe to the Man Cave Podcast. Because, well, sometimes we drop a bunch of episodes, sometimes three a day. So never miss an episode because we got Inside the Training Room. We got our outdoor tidbits, all that fun stuff up there too. So until next time, I'm Dan Casper. I will talk to you on the next episode of the Man Cave Podcast.